Good morning, everybody. Today's readings, we've got two readings today, and both are from the book of Acts. And the first reading is the book of Acts, and it's chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. It's entitled The Fellowship of the Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And our second reading again is from the book of Acts, this time in chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. This is entitled, The Believers Share Their Possessions. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. May God bless the reading of his word today. Amen.
It was a bit nerve-wracking for me trying to get up onto the stage without falling over. But I did it. That's good. Oops, that's just turned it off. Okay. It is weird seeing people in the building. I remember every September, as we used to go back to All Nations and I started teaching again, I used to be terribly nervous. Can I still do this? And I've been doing it over the summer, the last year, with nobody in the building. But seeing everybody in the building now is a bit scary. So, yeah, even up in the balcony. Dear me, that's scary. I don't know about you. I think most people have felt during this year, some people have really felt that they've lost connection with God. But that has never been so. God's always been there. He's always closer than the closest friend. He's always there. But what most of us have missed is these relationships. The relationships we have with one another. When Lou came through the door and the church, and you want to go and hug that you can't. But I've missed human contact. I've missed community. And it really is. It's been very difficult, especially for those of us who are more touchy-feely. It's been very difficult to cope with this separation. And this really brings us to our theme for this series that we're going to be going through. And this was Nick's idea. And right from the beginning, I thought, that's just brilliant. A people of. And we're going to look at a people of different things. We're going to look at people of hope, a people of grace, a people of faith, a people of worship, a people of service, a people of witness, loads of them. And we're going to be going right through to July with this, with a few breaks. But there is a logic in our madness. And this is the 2021 series. We started with our vision. The vision to grow into God, connect with one another and serve the world. Grow, connect, serve. And that's our vision as a church. As Bourne Baptist Church, we want to grow into God more, know more about him, love him more, feel his love for us, but also to connect with one another. And really, we can't very well connect with God. Excuse me. We can't connect with God without connecting with one another. Because the relationship is not me, God, Nick, God, Wilma, God. It is us and God. The emphasis in the West, in Europe, North America, we tend to emphasize the individual's relationship with God. And this comes over into theology. Our theology, everything we do and say in church. But actually, the Bible emphasizes a great deal of the us rather than the me. And you can hear it in our, what they used to call hymnody. In our songs, it's always I, it's me. But actually, in the Bible, it's us. And so we went on from there and we looked at the servant songs. And the servant, the ultimate servant, of course, is Jesus Christ. And it is only through him that we can know God. However many people worship God, but unless you worship God through Jesus Christ, you can't know him. Because there's only one way of knowing God, and that's through Jesus Christ. So we looked at the servant songs leading up to Easter, the commemoration of the passion of Christ and the celebration of his resurrection, the joy. I love Easter. I love the just going through the emotions of the deep, deep sadness and desolation of Good Friday and the utter joy of Easter Sunday. And then last week, David talked about the ascension, the importance of the ascension. Ascension Day is quite a way off from now. But actually, he talked about the ascension because we wanted it to lead into this series. Because the ascension is utterly vital. Now, that picture is an Indonesian artist, Christian artist, who this is depicting the ascension. And I love it. I just love it. Jesus kind of jumping up. He's going back to the Father. The joy that Christ must have felt. You know, how many times did Jesus say, how long do I have to spend with you, Lord? And then he's going back to the Father and he's jumping with joy. And what has that got to do with the church? Well, because without, and David said it, I'm so glad he did, it was brilliant last week, is unless he went to the Father, he could not send the Holy Spirit. So he had to return to the Father in order that the Spirit comes. And the Spirit descended at Pentecost, the wonderful, wonderful celebration of Pentecost, where the Spirit comes and forms the church. Now, this is very clear in the Bible. Unless I go to the Father, the Holy Spirit cannot come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, I will make you into a people and a people of witness. And that's what we see. And that's why we're coming now to a people of. And I've sort of changed. I said the people of the church, but it's actually a people of community. That is, when I think of church, I think of community. And that is such an important thing. And it's linked to the word fellowship. I don't know what you think about fellowship. I've got my little pattern that comes up on every slide of these three different coloured people dancing around together. But the community of fellowship, what do you think of when you think of fellowship? Arms held together or hands making something new. There, I was going to count the hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hands, but making a circle. That's what you see. Or is fellowship this? Having a meal together. I know a lot of us have missed life group because we just can't get together. That's what we need to be. We need to be together. Or if you're, or is that fellowship? Having a potluck supper after the service. I don't know about you. Some people want to sing when they get back to church. I want to go into the back hall and have a cup of coffee with all of us. That to me is fellowship. That's important. Or if you're a geek like me, who loves the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring. Fellowship of different people, all having one purpose. Or for millennials, you know, you've got the reboot of Friends coming up soon, apparently. So Acts 2 and Acts 4 in this context, it is both descriptive, in other words, tells us about the quality of their community, tells us what actually happened. And I don't know about you, but as Brian was reading that, I'm thinking, oh my word, scary, isn't it? But it's also prescriptive, which is telling us what the community should be like. So it's descriptive, that's what happened, but it's also prescriptive. And that is what Luke wants to tell us should be our life together. I have a book by one of my favourite theologians in the world, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, whose death we commemorated on the 9th of April. He was murdered by the Nazis on the 9th of April. And he wrote a book called Life Together, where he started an illegal seminary in 1935 in Germany to train pastors. And he wrote this book called Life Together because it was a community. It wasn't just classes. It was prayer. It was fellowship. It was communion. And that's really what community is about. So just looking at the passage, we see, first of all, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They wanted to grow. Something had happened. And if you imagine yourself back into those days, we've got 2,000 years worth of history of knowing about the gospel. They had just seen their Lord and Savior crucified, buried, he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. What does it all mean? And I've often said about Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ, it's not a preaching of the gospel. It's some bloke being beaten up and crucified. And there were hundreds of thousands of them. But there's the meaning of that. What does it mean? And these events had a meaning that the apostles, through the Holy Spirit and through their reflections and through the direct teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, had learned about what that meant. And you can see through the gospels, I'm going to get beaten up by the apostles when I get to heaven because I've insulted them so much. They seem so dense. Why don't you get it? I've got to die. I've got to rise again. Of course, we've got, like I say, 2,000 years of history to know what it's like. But they didn't. And they heard Jesus say these words. I must ascend to heaven. All that private teaching you get in John in the upper room, hearing him pray to the Father. Can you imagine? Can you simply imagine what it's like when the conversation between Jesus and the Father in John 17? Man, that would have been something to behold. But they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And being part of a community, people of a community, is learning. Not just learning here is all right, information's all right, but information is not formation and transformation. It's always what I say, teaching should not only be information, it should be transformation. It should be formation of people. And that's what they did. They devoted themselves. And the word that's used is almost an obsessive word. It's like, you know, teach me something. Go on, get kind of grabbing them by the lapels with your mask on, of course, with long arms. Teach me something. The devotion was incredible. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, but they also devoted themselves to fellowship. That word we've just been talking about, getting together. And the word, a bit of Greek here, koine is the word for common. The Bible, the New Testament, was written in Greek, but it wasn't written in Greek of the theatre. It wasn't written in the Greek of High Greek. It was written in the marketplace Greek. It was written in common Greek. And that's what we get the word fellowship from, koine, commonness, holding everything in common. And those are the big sort of challenging things, aren't they, of those two passages. Acts 2:44, they had everything in common. They held everything in common, Acts 4:32. It was having a one-mindedness, apart from the possessions, which are important, which we'll come back to, but it was the commonness of mind, that they were one in spirit. It didn't mean that they didn't disagree with one another. Of course they did. Two of the major apostles had an argument, Paul and Peter. But it means that you are going in the same direction. And this is what the kind of fellowship of the ring, of the Lord of the Rings. We might be diverse. And this is why this picture that I've got coming up all the time is so important. It reflects that the Trinity is my favorite subject in theology, is the Trinity. It's, of course, the most challenging subject because you can't really explain it properly. But the unity and diversity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Spirit is God. But the Father's not the Son. The Son's not the Spirit. And the Spirit's not the Father. But they're one in love and one in purpose. And that is what koinonia is about. Fellowship, commonness, community. So we will look different, but we will have this one thing in common. We are not united by being Baptists. We are not united by our race. We are united because of Jesus Christ, and he is the one who unites us. This fellowship, this is the most important thing about being church, is being together and being diverse. And this is an expression of that. Devoted to breaking of bread. Now, I've noted in verse 46, in their homes. This is not actually, and there are discussions on this, whether this is primarily what we call the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, the Eucharist, or whatever, or whether it is breaking bread in their homes, because they met in their homes. That's where they met. I do think that it is eating together. Jewish people, like many nations around the world, one of the most important ways of getting together is by eating together. And I would say that's pretty, it's one of the things that I've really missed, having people in my home and doing a good old barbecue. Sorry to all you vegetarians and vegans, but I still will have a barbecue. I had one specially built in my back garden out of brick. And as soon as I can get people in the garden, we will have a barbecue. But it is eating together. It is getting together. Why? I don't know. Just to waste time together, basically. You waste time with your family. I said we're one in purpose, but actually our purpose is love. That little four-lettered word, the one that you can say on the BBC. Love. That's why we get together. You know, I just want to be with you because I love you. And it's a terrible thing to be separated and lonely. And this is also vital. Prayer and praise. It actually says in the Greek, the prayers. So they probably had set prayers that they would say together. But prayer and praise. Because it's not just about a social club who love one another and meet together. Because we have a Father. We are brothers and sisters because we have a common Father. God the Father. And we are his children. We are family. I'm not going to break into sister sludge, as I used to call them. Do you remember We Are Family? Was it Sister Sledge, wasn't it? Okay, good. I'm glad I haven't got my pop history mixed up. I'm actually ashamed that I know Sister Sledge. But we are family, and we devote ourselves to talking to our Father and praising him. The word we know, the Aramaic word for Father, don't we? It's got the emphasis, actually, apparently, on the last syllable, Abba, which a child would use to their father. So it would be daddy, but so would an adult use the same word for their father. So it's not an infantile word. It's a word of intimacy. And I don't know about you, but I've been very moved by the reaction of the different members of the royal family to the death of Prince Philip. They loved that man. Grandpapa, he was, you know, he was a father. And I think it was Prince Charles who said he was father to the nation. I'm not quite sure about that. But certainly they loved him. And we devote ourselves to our loving father. We can't explain and can't get our head around how much that father loves us. We can't. We're human. We have always got that he's getting something out of it, because we all get something out of love. He just gives it, whatever, whenever, and to whomever, and even to us. And they had awe at the apostles' signs and wonders. Those are signs and wonders. That's pretty weak, wasn't it? One of the seven wonders of the world and a few signs. I spend hours and hours doing this sort of thing. Everybody thinks I'm studying the Greek and the Hebrew, and actually I'm looking for bits on the internet to put in my PowerPoints. No, that's not true. But they were in awe at the signs and wonders. A people of witness to the world. Signs and wonders weren't magical tricks. Somebody wrote on miracles, and he said they had two functions. One was to benefit the person who had the miracle done for them, and the other one was to say to the world, this is what my mission is. So when Jesus brought healing to the man who was let down through the roof, and he forgives his sins, that was benefit to him, but it was also saying to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, look, that's what my kingdom's about. It's about forgiveness. It's about healing. So they were amazed at the signs and wonders. And we've got to, I'm going to finish up by saying, you know, we've got to kind of check ourselves out. Do we just kind of look at the wonders that we see around us, the signs, the healings, and go, oh, you know, that's it? Or are we in awe? And that word awe, the best description I've heard of the word awe was open-mouthed wonder. It's sort of like, and that's what they were. They were healing. They were not only witnessing to the healing, they were actually healing people. And they held everything in common. Now this, when we apply this sort of thing, we've got to realize that these people were in Jerusalem. Most of them had stayed in Jerusalem and probably couldn't earn anything at the time. 5,000 people and 3,000 people in a couple of weeks. So they held everything in common and sold their property. And the example of Barnabas is given. I used to say to my dad one time, who would you like as your pastor from the Bible? Would it be the Apostle Paul, you know, great theological teacher? He said, no, I want Barnabas, the son of encouragement. He was the one who introduced Paul to the church leaders, the son of encouragement. And he sold property and laid it at the apostles' feet. I was struck by that when Brian read it, he laid it at their feet, which was a sign of submission. And of course, Barnabas ends up to be one of the major missionaries within the early church. And of course, they had favor with all the people. Again, witness to the gospel. I'm going to move on quickly because I'm taking up too much time here. And of course, the Lord added to their number daily. And it's important the way Luke puts this, because the Lord added to their number daily. It wasn't what they were doing so much as the Lord doing it. And that's what, in all our witness, we can't actually be thinking it's our techniques or our clever ways of doing stuff or our discipleship methods. It is the Lord who adds their number. Another of my favourite theologians said this. It's a bit of a long quote, but I think it's worth it. I found it on Friday. The church lives only because Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, through his word and sacrament, gathers people together as his congregation, binds it to himself, and sends it into the world as his witnessing community. Until the coming again of its Lord, it is on the move, oppressed from within, without, tempted from within, and outwardly poor. So this is the important point. Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, through his word and sacrament, gathers people together as his congregation, binds it to himself, and sends it out into the world. So grow, connect, serve. And it's on the move. The church is never static. Luke is especially the gospel writer who basically, where he uses the word the way, that the people of the way, and Jesus went on his way. And then the transfiguration, he says they were talking to him about his exodus, his departure, his movement all the time. So how do we apply this? Not one-to-one. It was a culturally different time. You can't just say, well, if you're a Christian, you've got to sell all your possessions and present it to the church. There have been people who have said that. I don't know if you remember the early days of Louis Palau. The people did that in his church and it ended up a bit of a disaster. But it's got to be culturally appropriate applications. So fellowship is formed through unity in Jesus Christ. Apostles' teaching, prayer, praise in the temple. Fellowship goes beyond the Sunday service. Eating together, sharing together. The wife of a good friend in Argentina, she's with the Lord now, but she used to talk about the service after the service, which was the time of fellowship. Fellowship is valuing the same things, being of one mind and one heart. And fellowship is witness, gaining the favor of all people and God adding to their number. That is church. It's when people say church, they think of a building or boredom. It's a vibrant community of people who are formed through Christ. We share fellowship together, value the same things, and witness the world. So, what we call community here at BBC pass the Acts 2 and 4 test? That's maybe something we can discuss in life groups this week. What sort of quality of fellowship do we have at BBC? Well, if not, how can we improve it? Even I've been amazed at how many people have been able to get together during this time of lockdown, and we thought of creative ways of doing it. And we need to continue to be reimagining the church. There's so many conferences on that sort of thing, reimagining what it is to be in fellowship. And where can I contribute? Where can I contribute to the creation of an environment of true and honest fellowship? What's my role? We all have a role. I never say, sometimes we say by mistake, I'm one of the ministers. I'm not. You are the ministers. We're just the pastors. You're the ministers. Chris Wright, the former principal of All Nations, used to say, mission and ministry are far too important to be left to missionaries and ministers. It's our job, not my job, or Nick's job, or Lee's job. It's everybody's job to form this ministry. So we'll be looking at different things that we are a people of. But I wanted to start off by doing a sort of rounded view of what the community of the church looked like in the early church. And I hope it's been helpful. There's a lot in there. You'll be able to go back and look it up on Facebook afterwards as well and get all the points. If you want the PowerPoint presentation, I'm quite happy to send it to you if you email me. And so just let's finish this part by praying. Lord God, we thank you for the church. We thank you that you can glorify yourself in a group of sinful people who are bound together in the knowledge that they are forgiven by Jesus Christ and are loved by you as our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Abba. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. And we ask it in this Trinitarian name. Amen.